From an objective point of view, it seems like that our whole big universe, including Hale Bopp Comet and everything contained within it, is ultimately one large sandbox. And we're all playing around and making ourselves and each other dirty with the sand. And some of us manage to build more successful mountains. Other ones, man, they stay on the floor. They didn't even manage to build a 2-inch mountain. And so the 5 billion people vary from individual to individual. But ultimately, even if you build a mountain which is 10 feet long, it's all in a childish sandbox. How can man connect to the absolute, undefined reality in life? The answer is, you cannot. Man cannot connect with that reality for a very simple reason. He might feel that he's connecting, but a connection with another party, with another entity, does not mean that you feel you're connected. It means that you're actually connected. There has to be a two-way street. There's reciprocation over here. And as much as we feel or experience connection, ultimately it's only from our side of the picture. But what about from the perspective, from the side of the Ein Sof? Did we connect to him, or did we connect to our imaginations that think we connected to him? Therefore, essentially, man does not have the ability to connect. There is only one way, only one path possible by its very definition. And this is when Hashem stretches out his arm to us. By him connecting to us, and he has the ability to connect to us because he has the ability to connect with whoever he wants, he initiates and creates the connection between humanity and Hashem. And this, in one word, is the essence, the quintessence of Torah and all its mitzvahs. What is a mitzvah? What is a mitzvah? Ask a Jew. The literal meaning of a mitzvah means a commandment. Do this, Hashem says, and don't do that. Observe Shabbos, give charity, eat matzah on Pesach, do not murder, do not steal, do not commit adultery, do not eat cheeseburgers. That's a mitzvah. Comes the Alter Rebbe, says no. A mitzvah is something much deeper. A mitzvah means something which Hashem established to constitute his will. This is what he wants. And thus, in the words of the Rambam, he and his will are one. So a mitzvah is what Hashem wants. It's part and parcel, so to speak, anthropomorphically, of the divine essence of the divine reality. This, since Hashem wanted to extend himself to us, to enable us to relate to him, something that no human endeavor can achieve on its own. So he communicated to us and he articulated to us in a manner that we can relate to his very will. He communicated to man a set of directives which he deemed as his will, as his want, as his desire. He chose to communicate to us the mitzvahs to serve as the vehicle by which we may establish a relationship and a connection with him. And the same is true regarding Torah. What is Torah? Torah is not just a sefer which has many laws regulating a variety of issues in life, or telling us just different insights about life. Torah is Chachmasa Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It is the wisdom of Hashem. And Hu V'Chachmasa Yechad, Hashem and his wisdom are one. Again, in the words of the Rambam, which the Alter Rebbe says, Hu Hamadev, Hu Hayedeyev, Hu Hayedua. He is the knower, he is the mind, the means of knowledge, and he is the knowing, the subject of knowledge. And by Hashem, they are actually one. And by articulating to us and allowing us to learn the Torah, what he's giving us is part of himself This is part of the Hashem's reality, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's reality, not the human reality. The infinite, absolute, unequivocal reality of Hashem. That is Torah and Mitzvahs. The wisdom of Torah and the will that a Yid should not eat spinach on Yom Kippur. This will is Hashem. So when a Jew comes and studies a word of Torah or performs a mitzvah, he lives his life as an instrument of Hashem's will. Interesting, this is also one of the meanings of the word mitzvah. We are all familiar with the meaning commandment, but mitzvah has another meaning. Mitzvah does not only mean commandment. It also comes from the root tzafsa, which means a connection, a link, a bond. And this is very significant. A mitzvah is not only a commandment. A mitzvah is the tool, the sole tool and vehicle by which a person can connect with what is ultimately true and absolute in life. I was a little while ago, I mentioned in Japan, I met over there a Jew who was raised in a Jewish home and was familiar with many of the mitzvahs of the Torah, but then unfortunately abandoned the mitzvahs. And he was discussing it with me, frankly, and he says, "Rabbi, I want to explain you why." He says, "The God," in his words, "the God of the Jews is extremely physical and crude. And I cannot stand that. These 613 rigid mitzvahs can drive man berserk, crazy." He says, "What type of God wants that human beings should look if there's a worm in lettuce or no worm in lettuce? And if you're hungry, you can't go into this restaurant, to that restaurant." He likes the God of Buddhism. That's what he likes. And every day he practices meditation for many, many hours. He's very well familiar with their literature. He says, "My God is a transcendental cosmic consciousness. And your God is a very limited, crude, physical-oriented God. Compare." He says, "Can't you finally, after so many years, mature and elevate your divine identity a little higher? Give him some higher standards." What type of ridiculous thing is that mature people take hide of animals and wrap it around their arm? What type of significance, what type of relationship can there be in such a deed? And I said, "My dear friend, you have such an exalted God. You elevated your God so high. But nevertheless, in my humble opinion, you failed to elevate him beyond one level of existence, one reality." He says, "What?" "You." God is beyond everything. He's beyond every phenomenon, every reality. But he didn't manage to go beyond you. In other words, it's your imagination and your spiritual consciousness that dictates what absolute reality is. Maybe God transcends what you ever dreamt about. Maybe God transcends your ultimate dreams and fantasies and meditative experiences. Maybe Hashem transcends the Himalayas and your 9 hours of meditating as well. And this is all expressed in Bereishis. Ki b'tzelem elokim aseh es ha'adam. Man was created in God's image. You created a God in man's image. Hashem is infinitely removed from physicality. But he's also infinitely removed from any spiritual awareness that man will ever formulate in his mind, even after a million years, by the very definition of him being a creator and you being a created human being. I said, "You're having a relationship now with nice, extraordinary, amazing realities, but it has nothing to do with God. You want to have a relationship with Hashem? Hashem articulated to us what His will is. And He allowed us to taste Him by learning Torah and observing mitzvahs." I said, "You'll go after Pesach and buy a pair of tefillin and put on tefillin. So with that physical act of tefillin, You connected with absolute reality. You connected with the Creator. Not with creation, but with Creator. He turns to me and says, Rabbi, I have to get back to you on that one. This is also the meaning that Rebbe explains later in Tanya, in the powerful words of Yeshaya HaNavi. Yeshaya HaNavi, Perik Nunhei, in the beginning says, Hoi chal tzame l'chulamayim, he shouts, Hoi, every thirsty person, every thirsty man, go to water. And he is, of course, addressing human beings who are complaining and lamenting about the fact that they're thirsty. He says, there's a brook of water. Go drink water. So all the commentaries on the Pasuk ask the question, what is the? Do we need the prophet Yeshaya to convey this profound truth that if you're thirsty, you should go to the sink and take a cup of water? So they explain that Yeshaya HaNavi is talking about Torah. Mayim ein mayim ela Torah. Mayim is Torah. Chazal say, we will learn about this in this parak later. Next piece. So Yeshaya HaNavi is saying, if you're thirsty, go learn Torah. And this, Dalter Rebbe explains in Perek Mem, chapter 40 of Tanya, is actually a revolutionary statement. He's telling you, you're thirsty. What are you thirsty to? People are thirsty to spirituality. A human being is a composite of a soul and a body, of a divine soul and a natural soul. And you cannot ignore your divine soul. A human being is thirsty. People have a part in them which is not content and satisfied with physicality, with earthliness, with materialism. They want to go beyond. They want to touch the truth. They want to transcend the arbitrary of life. They want to connect and cleave to the eternal. So you would think, how do you do it? How do you satiate this powerful, overwhelming thirst? I'll tell you how you do it. You go to this part of the world, and you climb on a mountain, and you forget about your physical body, and you start meditating for 10 hours. You satiate your thirst. Comes Yeshaya HaNavi and says, no! L'chu l'mayim. Take out a Gemara, and start learning about a Shayish Nagach HaSapara, an ox which gored a cow. Ribbono Shel Olam, what in the world is the connection between an ox goring a cow to my thirst to touch the divine? So the answer is, because an ox goring a cow is Hashem's wisdom. And Hashem and His wisdom are one. So when you will learn those words, you are grasping, comprehending, and becoming one with Hashem. And the same is true regarding a mitzvah. Torah is defined as the wisdom of Hashem, and mitzvahs as the will of Hashem. Torah is wisdom. Mitzvahs is not wisdom. Mitzvahs are the will of Hashem. But both, essentially one essence, one entity, allow the human being to connect with Hashem. Now we understand. What Alter Rebbe is saying about the garments. You have a soul and you have the garments of the soul. The soul of the Jew is extraordinary. The soul of the Jew is defined in Tanya as a nefesh elikis, a soul which all its functions, its entire personality, character, aspires to transcend itself and to cleave to Hashem's reality. But after all said and done, it's a soul. It's a consciousness. So therefore, with all its experiences, which are not to be underestimated, which are extremely important and crucial, nevertheless, it is defined ultimately and hindered by the very boundary of it being a consciousness, a soul. Thus, it by itself, it cannot connect with the divine, absolute, infinite, undefined reality. Then you have garments. You have the physical act of performing a deed. You have the physical ability to utter a word. You have the ability to think. And most mitzvahs can be performed only via the garments, either thought, speech, and action. So when a person does a mitzvah, he goes through the motions according to Shulchan Aruch. Whether he does acts or says words or thinks thoughts of Torah and mitzvahs, these motions and the execution of these motions, the Almighty chose to define as the implementation of His will. So the significance surpasses infinitely the soul. Why infinitely? Because the soul is a soul. And over here you're dealing with Hashem. So the garments which create the actual connection with Hashem. Because these motions and their execution is the implementation of Hashem's will. This is much greater than the soul. So the soul's quality surpasses infinitely the quality of the soul itself. Ah, you'll say, these are physical garments and you're dealing with a relationship to Hashem. I'll tell you, yes, a relationship to Hashem. A relationship to Hashem means do a mitzvah. So now, when a Jew does have an internal experience and he does a mitzvah, so a Jew wakes up in the morning and he possesses an awareness that there is a divine reality and I have to live my life in accordance with His will. And he goes and takes out from his drawer the tefillin and he wraps the tefillin around his arm and his leg and his head in shul. So there are two dynamics. There is the internal experience and there is the crude implementation. So you would think they're identical in value. Or certainly your commitment is deeper. This is just expressing it. So he says, no! The crude physical act of putting on tefillin, that equals a relationship to Hashem. Tefillin is Hashem's reality, is His will. Your internal commitment, the moods, the motives, the instincts, the passions, the feelings that is behind this act is a human endeavor. A human being is finite and all his resources and tools are limited. But the tefillin, the physical, boring, quote-unquote, act of putting on tefillin, is Hashem. Where do you have the practical implications of all which I said above? L'may nafkimin, the Gemara always wants to, L'may nafkimin, what is the difference? What is the difference? Before you heard what Alter Rebbe says in Peridol and after you heard what Alter Rebbe says in Peridol. In addition to a difference in philosophy, ideology, perspective, practically, what is the difference? Many differences, but I just want to emphasize one. Baruch Hashem, Jews that are sitting around here are basically shomer Torah and mitzvahs, and people who learn Torah and observe mitzvahs. And hopefully their mitzvahs are not done only robotic, but rather there's an internal understanding and commitment to Yiddishkeit. And certainly there's always room to grow and accelerate, and therefore we try. But what about if I meet a Jew who unfortunately didn't have a Jewish upbringing? And he knows nothing about Yiddishkeit. And I have an opportunity to perform with him one single mitzvah. According to halacha. It's a mitzvah which according to halacha, observing this mitzvah is a mitzvah. And I do it with him. For example, I have a pair of tefillin in my office, and there's a Jew who's a secular Jew, so to speak, and I put on with him tefillin once. And I didn't see him yesterday, I'm not going to see him tomorrow. He doesn't wear yarmulke, he doesn't wear tzitzis, he doesn't eat kosher, etc., etc., unfortunately. But according to Shulchan Aruch, he has observed the mitzvah of tefillin. So there are two perspectives on this deed. One person can say, perhaps justifiably, give me a break, what are you doing? What are you putting on tefillin for? He's a secular Jew. What are you gaining by putting tefillin on his hand? What happened over here? So you'll ask him, well, you also put on tefillin. He says, well, what's the major difference? I put on tefillin vas haste. I learned 30 years Torah. I know all about Shulchan Aruch Hilchos Tefillin. I know what tefillin represent. I am a religious Jew in essence. My tefillin is not tefillin. My tefillin is an expression of a personality. My tefillin is an expression of a lifelong commitment, devotion, submission to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. But his tefillin, well, he's going to become a frum yid tomorrow. Yes, he'll say, if you're going to take this yid and start learning with him, after 3-4 years, you'll put him on tefillin. But this is a Jew who you do not know what's going to happen tomorrow. What is this Jew telling us in essence? this Jew who's complaining. What he's telling us in essence is that when I put on tefillin every day, the act of tefillin is insignificant. V'haraya, putting on tefillin on him is insignificant. My feelings, that is what is significant. My personality, that's what creates the relationship. This is missing the whole point of Torah mitzvahs. Torah mitzvahs is creating a relationship with Hashem because it's His mitzvah. It's His Torah. And when a Yid puts on tefillin, or puts a mezuzah on his door, or does one mitzvah, whatever mitzvah of the 613 mitzvahs, or learns a word of Torah, or thinks a word of Torah, this Yid connected to Hashem. Ah, you're going to say, I don't feel it. What does connection have to do with feeling you're connected? We very much mistake and identify our feelings and say that is reality. It doesn't have to do with reality. When I feel something about someone, it doesn't mean I'm connected with him. I feel I'm connected. What in the world does that have to do with connection to Hashem? Connection to Hashem means connection to Hashem. You're one with him. You feel you're connected. So one Jew can feel everything in the world. He feels for everything, but he didn't connect. You can sit down Pesach and contemplate for 9 hours on the internal significance of matzah and feel you're connected, but you didn't shove the matzah down your esophagus. You didn't connect. The other Yid took that matzah and ate it. He doesn't feel anything, but he connected with Hashem. I just want to conclude with one important idea. And this is that one may ask, what is the source of all which was said above? So it should be emphasized that this is not a chiddush that Alter Rebbe introduced in Tanya Perek Dalet. This is something as ancient as Torah and Mitzvahs itself. Just for one brief example, there's a Gemara Masechta Ksuvos, Daf Peivav Amud Aleph. The Gemara talks about influencing another Jew to observe mitzvah saseh. We all know when there's a bezdin, the penalty for violating the mitzvah leisus or the negative prohibitions is malchus, usually lashes. What about mitzvah saseh, positive commandments? If a Jew does not observe mitzvah saseh, there's no actual punishment which is executed by the Jewish court, by the bezdin. But the Gemara brings over here on Daf Peivav Amud Aleph at the end. Ba'med varim amurim. When do we say there is malchus b'mitzvus loisus? By negative prohibitions. Aval b'mitzvus asei kigoyin sha'omrim lo. Asei suka ve'ene yaisa. Lula ve'ene yaisa. Makin yaisa achetetze nafshe. Regarding mitzvus asei, positive commandments. For example, you tell a Jew, build a sukkah. It's sukkahs. And he does not. He refuses to build. Take a lulav and shake it, and he refuses. So the halacha is, the Gemara says, that Bezdin has the right to coerce him and actually administer lashes upon him until he does it, to the extent achetetze nafshe. And Rashi explains that this is talking before he lost the ability to do it. In other words, there is still time for him to do the mitzvah. So Bezdin may hit him. Now, just parenthetically, according to many poskim, the Nesivis and others, this is an obligation that's not only on Bezdin, but also on every individual. That every individual has the right of makinais. Now, of course, just parenthetically, in the present day and age, I doubt that that is exactly the proper method. Actually, I don't doubt. I know that it's not the proper method, especially in today's day and age, when the mouth is quite a powerful tool to explain the significance and the beauty of mitzvahs. But imagine what the Gemara is saying here. A Jew refuses to shake a lulav. He says, I don't want to shake a lulav. So you coerce him, you force him to shake that lulav. Can you imagine what his soul felt like when he was shaking that lulav? What his internal experience was? How much he felt the relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam? He was forced to do it. The Gemara says that this is a mitzvah sase. What type of significance is there in this mitzvah? But pshat is that a yid shaking a lulav, he performed a mitzvah. Hashem wants a yid to shake a lulav. So when you implement His will and you shake that lulav and sukkahs, you connect it with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, Brother Rambam and Hilchus Geirushin, if you remember, that every Yid essentially, mitzad his desire to be a Yid, wants to do all mitzvahs. So you can explain that the significance in forcing him to shake the lulav is because intrinsically he wants to shake the lulav. So although he's doing it only externally and he screams that I do not want to, but nevertheless internally he really wants because he's a Yid and he has an neshama. Identical, similar to what the Rambam explains regarding a divorce, that kaifinai siyachayem eretzani. But there's a much deeper point, and this is the point Alter Rebbe is conveying in the second half of Perek Dalet. Not that Alter Rebbe, if we say that the significance of the levushim is because internally the nefesh elikis really wants to do the mitzvah, then that would not mean that the levushim surpassed the soul. It would just mean that even when you're doing a mitzvah just via your garments, there is an internal experience happening, not a conscious one, but a subconscious one. So that still does not say or indicate that the garments per se are greater. The garments are meaningless. Meaningless per se. They're meaningful only as expressions. But even when a Jew is doing a mitzvah and utilizing his garments, there is an internal expression. So the garments are expressing something, albeit subconsciously. Comes the Alter Rebbe and emphasizes, no, the pshat is the lulav alta lulav, not the lulav alta subconscious passion it is expressing. Conclude with a story I once heard from a man. He is a rabbi in Australia. And he once related to me that in 1970... I think it was 1970, he visited the Holy Land. And for the first time in his life, he visited the cemetery, the old ancient cemetery in Tzfas, in the holy city of Tzfas. This Jew is very charismatic, very passionate, spiritually attuned. So the first time you come to the old cemetery of Tzfas, especially if you have knowledge in Jewish history, especially if you are aware of the 16th century era of the great Mekabalim and Tzfas, who are all or mostly interred there. It's a very powerful experience, especially upon the first visit. So this Jew went there in the morning, and he stood there all day, and he cannot rip himself away from that territory. He was just overwhelmed. He was so moved. He was so touched. Learning for 30 years about Darizal. Over here, Darizal lies. The Beis Yosef, Reb Meshe Kardaviro, the Alshech, Chana V'Shivas B'nei, etc., etc. Tzvas. And the day was coming to an end, and soon was Shkia sunset. And he came to visit the cemetery with an older chassid, an old Lubavitcher chassid who sat for 12 years in Soviet communist prisons. His name was Reb Berke Chayin Olav HaShalom. And he already left the cemetery early, and he was standing outside of the fence, if you're familiar, there's a fence that surrounds the cemetery. And in 10 minutes, it's Shkia sunset. So he shouts from outside of the cemetery to the person standing in the cemetery. He says, Yitzchak, Yitzchak. His name is Yitzchak. It's about Shkia. Soon sunset, without Davin Mincha, you have to Davin Mincha. So Rabbi Yitzchak tells me, he says, I heard what he said, but it was to no significance, really. I'm here in Tzvas. I'm communicating in my mind with Arizal. I cannot leave the cemetery now. Time was progressing, you know, the clock doesn't stop. And a few minutes later, Yitzchak, Yitzchak, Mincha, Shkia. And he tells me, I'm thinking to myself, leave me alone. Mincha, I davened already for 40 years. I'll daven Mincha a little later. But the cemetery is fast. Everything is coming to life. Everything is true. And this old Reb Berke Chayin sees that his words are falling on deaf ears. And he continues to shout, but to no avail. Finally, he screams, Yitzchak, Yitzchak, das is Giluyim, und Minch is Atzmos. Which means, loosely translated, he says, Yitzchak, Yitzchak, the cemetery in Tzfas is your experiences and your comprehension and emotional feelings and attachments to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But Mincha, Mincha is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mincha is Hashem. Have a wonderful week. I wanted to announce that upon the request of many participants in this class, beginning from next week and continuing throughout the summer months, the shiur will be changed to Tuesday evening, 8 o'clock, over here in Heichal Menachem. So beginning with next Tuesday, I think it's June 24th. The Shia will be over here at 8 o'clock. Have a good week.
Rabbi Jacobson delivers this weekly class on the Tanya each Sunday morning at Heichel Menachem in the Borough Park section of Brooklyn, New York. To order additional tapes or to receive the tapes weekly by mail, please call Heichel Menachem at 718-633-1076.